in that process of time, I will receive a harvest. I'm blessed and I'm a blessing. In Jesus' name, I believe. Ushers, would you wait on us, please? You may be seated. And as you go to your seat and place your offering in the bag, get your Bibles or your smart devices out. I'm using mine, too. So good to be with you this morning. I enjoy gathering with the family and seeing everybody. Don't you? It feels like it's dark in here, but it's just because it's dark outside, I think. But there is a light, and I like light, and we're going to shine some light this morning on a few scriptures that will help us. So my goal this morning is to help you. I want to help you to number one, diffuse some doubt. I want to help give you a remedy for rejection. I want to help you stop worrying about what Holy Spirit has already worked out. You didn't hear that one. I want to help you stop worrying about what He has already worked out. A lot of times, Lisa gave us a definition a few weeks ago. If you didn't write it down, this would be a good time to remember it. Worry is frustrated planning. Because we're frustrated, worried about what we can't take care of, we begin to plan based upon that. When we don't have to plan out of worry, we can just go ahead and believe that He's worked it out. He knows my end from my beginning. Amen? I'm here this morning to help you see a cure for your confusion. Punch two people and tell them to wake up. I'm here to give you an antidote for your anxiety. That you can just shout anytime that hits you. Okay? I believe that through the power of the Holy Spirit this morning, that your hurts can be healed. I believe that your faith can increase. And I believe that you will overcome what's been overwhelming you. So, let's draw our attention to the subject that we have this morning in holding nothing back. I'm all in. I'm all in. You know, there's an old hymn, and we've kind of redone the nature of the song a little more upbeat, and we've added the modern flow of worship to it, and we sing, Jesus paid it all. And then we will sing the next phrase, and it says, all to Him I owe. Stop right there. If you have a debt, and I pay it all, and I say to you in that payment, this is a gift, how much do you owe? But we sing a song, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe, and I want to tell you, you owe Him nothing. He's not expecting repayment, because if He's expecting repayment, then you earned what He gave you, and that would be a wage. And redemption, salvation, deliverance, healing, power of the Spirit, none of that is earned. It's all a gift that was given to us at Calvary. Jesus paid it all, did He not? I owe Him nothing. But I'm so thankful for what He has done that I want to go all in. You can put that definition on the screen. Here's what all in means. It means all in, fully committed to or involved. I did a little play in words there, involved, because I'm all in. Involved in something or a cause. It's without restrictions. It's both reckless and relentless. I have to stop right there. You know, that we sing a song called Reckless Love, the reckless love of God, and there are some folks out there in that we're our brothers and our sisters, but they don't like that word reckless because they don't believe God is reckless. And I simply believe that our brother Corey Asbury, when he wrote that song, was in a place where he believed that God spared no expense when it came to His love for us, and that made it reckless. But at the same time, He's not only reckless, He's relentless. I mean, we sing songs about all the time. He's chasing me down. His goodness is chasing after me. It's the goodness of God that's running after me. It was so good, even in the garden, that when they sinned, God came looking for Adam and Eve when they were trying to get away from God. I believe this morning, one of the songs said, he's not going to stop chasing after you. He's going to come even when you feel at your most worthless, he's still coming after you. So it's without restriction, reckless, and relentless. It's betting all your chips on a single hand. Not beating, as the screen says. That's a typo. It's betting. If anybody's ever played Texas Hold'em poker or watched it on ESPN, it's when you're all in. You just throw it all in the pot. I'm concerned that in grace circles and under the message of grace, people believe that they can just hold some things back because God's grace is going to be sufficient for them. And it is. But I'm concerned that when we've heard grace, now this, just hear me out. I believe if grace is preached correctly and there's no, see, because it doesn't matter what adjective you put in front of it, it's still grace. And it's free. And if it's preached right, him big and real good, then people will test the waters of freedom. But they will also realize that that's not what, see, here's what grace does. The law was given to us so that we would know right from wrong. And it does not take faith to obey any of those laws. Here's a set of rules. Follow these rules, you're blessed. If you don't follow them, you're cursed. But even in that, here's a sacrifice that you can make because I'm gracious. Okay? But when God's grace came along through the person of Jesus Christ, Jesus on the Sermon at the Mount began to tell us, the law says that if you sleep with a woman that's not your wife, that you've committed adultery. So they knew what adultery was. There was a definition, there was a rule, a law to follow, and a consequence if you didn't. Okay? Now the Holy Spirit that indwells in the believer will let the believer know when an action or a word or a deed is incorrect. He'll begin to prompt your heart. But what's happening is we've avoided teaching how Holy Spirit talks to us, so believers don't know in their spirit because we've always talked to the flesh man and told them the do's and don'ts, and we've tore down the flesh man, but we've never built up the spirit man. But I'm here to encourage you in the spirit and speak to you, the spirit man that's on the inside of you, so that you can reach your purpose and your destiny. But you're bringing chaos into your life by the sin that you're committing. You keep spiraling downward and saying, well, God's grace is sufficient. Yes, it is. But grace is the empowerment to deny ungodliness, not to live in ungodliness. And I'm still not here to preach law because we're not under law, we're under grace. But I am here to tell you that your spirit will bear witness with his spirit in heaven, and if you're about to do something that the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to do, he will prick your heart. And if you ignore that witness of the Holy Spirit in your heart to do, or not just not to do things, because he will inspire and prick our hearts to do certain things as well as to avoid certain things, but when we avoid that, all we've done is decided, I don't want to go down that road, I'll go down this road. This road is full of chaos, but this road is full of peace. So I'd much rather follow the Holy Spirit and have peace in my life and go all in, holding nothing back, than to go my own way and just continually have chaos. Let me tell you something. If you are continuing to make the same decisions that you've always made and you wonder why the chaos and the hurt and the rejection is still there, it's probably because you're going down the road that you're choosing. Calm down, Jamie. And we need to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's an inner voice that speaks to us. I believe we as believers have an indwelling Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? So why don't we go all in? Why are we not determined that nothing is, I mean, I had them sing that song. That's an older song. But my chains have fallen off. I've been set free. So why am I not all in? What am I holding back, and why am I holding back? See, in Matthew's gospel, the 6th chapter. I'm excited. I got a lot. Let me go back. I have to get back over here on this trail for just a second. In the Sermon on the Mount, when he said, if you sleep with someone that's not your spouse, you've committed adultery. And then he said, but I say, if you've looked on a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. And some people will say, well, Jesus was just elevating the law. He doesn't want us to do more. He wants us to believe more. And so what he was actually saying is, I know your heart. Grace will reveal what's already in your heart. See, I know a lot of individuals who gave according to a law in Malachi that if they were going to rebuke the devourer, they had to give a certain percentage of their finances. Okay? And if you really want to teach that properly, it's not tithe in Malachi, it's tithes, and that's 25%, and every other year it was 30%. According to your crops. Okay? So let's not even get on the 10%. It's plural tithes, not singular tithe, 10%. But I'm not even going there, because people did that out of fear, and they did it with a, I sure don't want the devil to come and rob and steal and kill from me, but so if I give this amount of money, this 10%, and people struggled with it, and then as preachers, we would get in the pulpit, and somebody's car broke down, their washer quit working, they're bankrupt, their kids are sick, their dad got cancer, mom's got diabetes, and they'll say, the preacher would stand in the pulpit and say, it's because you didn't give 10%. That's a lie of the devil. And unfortunately, I was one of them that stood behind the pulpit and said those things. Okay? But what I've come to find out is that under grace, God will not allow you not to give. And by the way, this is not a message on giving, but that's where God's going right now. And so what happens is those that, okay, I was under law, I had to give this, and I was scared to death if I didn't, these were going to be the consequences. Then they heard a freeing message that's completely set them free, and God's grace is on the scene, and I'm not under law, I'm under grace, and they quit giving. Well, I don't have to give. God's grace covers me. Holy Spirit, backtrack, God the Father loved so much that he, his only begotten Son, Jesus said, no man takes my life from me, I give my life to you. And the Holy Spirit has given gifts to the church. So if you have the divine nature of God, and I believe we are partakers of his divine nature, then by nature, as believers, we are givers. But Holy Spirit will it be the one that guides you and speaks to you and talks to you and tells you what to give. But two things. Number one, if you don't know how to hear that voice, you'll never hear what he says to you about giving. And number two, if you ignore that voice when you know what it is, there will be consequences and chaos that come into your life because of it. And most prevalently, probably in your finances. Got that off my chest. No, I didn't. I shouldn't even say that. That's what God was directing in, because that's not in the notes. Now go with me to Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 33. Matthew 6, 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Why do you think Matthew said his righteousness? Because Matthew's writing predominantly to Jews who were under the law, and their righteousness was self-righteousness that they obtained through the keeping of the law and the ceremonies and the sacrifices. But Matthew comes along and says, don't seek that, seek the kingdom. See, because the gospel tells us that the law and the prophets were preached until John. But then John came, the forerunner, came preaching the kingdom, and he said, repent, change your mind, for the kingdom is at hand. And then Jesus showed up and said, the kingdom is here, because I'm the king, and wherever the king is, that's the kingdom. Let me read that in the Passion Translation. So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom. How often? And the righteousness that proceeds from him, the righteousness that he gives as a gift. 2 weeks ago, we talked about reigning in life through the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace. It's a gift, and it proceeds from him. Then all of these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Isn't it amazing that we chase after the less important things, and then we hope to find the kingdom, when he says, if you'll seek after the kingdom, all these less important things will automatically be added to you. Have you ever noticed the cross? It's a plus sign, it's not a minus sign. Stepping into the kingdom will always add to your life, it will never detract from your life. But if you want to choose your own way, and you don't want to go all in, and you want to hold things back, you're constantly, I am convinced that sin still has consequences. I am convinced that one of those consequences is hell on earth. And people's lives are spiraling out of control in this life. And they see Jesus, this is amazing, John 10:10. The thief comes for to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. Yes, that includes eternal life, but Jesus said abundant life. He didn't say eternal life. He came to give you his life, and when he gave you his life, if you'll let him live his life through you, then you will begin to experience abundance in this life. Because Matthew, the gospel, the sixth chapter, if you seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, everything that you need will be added unto you, and I don't have to chase after those things. It's just a full flow of supply that comes naturally. So why aren't we all in? Why are we holding back? Now, in the old days, I would shout and scream and spit and smack the pulpit and say, all in means that you're in church 3 times a week, that you're given a certain amount of money, that you read a certain amount of scriptures every day, that you pray a certain amount of time every day, and that needs to be in the morning because we need to get up early in the morning while I seek you. David said, that's great, but I'm not a morning person. I just said that I am. Lisa's not the morning person. I'm the morning person. I'm in bed by the time she's getting up. Then I'm getting up by the time she goes to bed. No. But those things, while they are important, we got the cart before the horse, and we need to put the horse out in front of the cart so we can get somewhere. Do I read? Yes. Do I pray? Absolutely. Do I give? Yes. Strategically and weekly. But those things no longer dictate to me what I receive from God. I have declared and decreed what he has already given to me, and now I'm so thankful and blessed and full of life that out of a natural flow, those things have become a part of my life. So then I avoid chaos and consequences. And I'm living heaven on earth. It's just another day in paradise. There's no hell on earth, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, people, we're concerned about people going to hell after they die, and there's people living in hell all around us. People weeping every day over the consequences they have, gnashing their teeth, pulling their hair out because of the hell that they're living in, and we're not giving them any good news. Shame on us, church. Now, I'm not talking about behind the pulpits. Yes, that's important, but each one of us have a purpose in life to share the good news with everyone that we come in contact with. So why aren't we all in? Let me give you a few of them. I believe that by experience and through research in life, that there's a few things that point to what's holding us back, some common hindrances. Now, this is not an all-inclusive list. I didn't exhaust everything because we'd be here all day talking about individual hindrances that hold us back. But I believe that we can all kind of lump different areas of our life into these 4 areas. Number 1, insignificance. The quality or feeling of being too small or too inadequate or unimportant to be worth considering. People feel insignificant. Sometimes we make them feel insignificant because we ignore them. I encourage you and admonish you. I was going to say challenge you, but I really encourage you and admonish you to pray that the Holy Spirit would begin to open up your eyes and illuminate your vision so that you can see the doors that he wants you to walk through. I have spent a lot of my time investing in what I called kingdom work, not realizing that the kingdom is people. And the most important investment I can make is in people. Because everything that I invest in earthly is temporal, but people, if they will believe, are eternal. And so it's important for us to invest in people. Now, yes, we invest in programs. We had a yard sale, raised $815 yesterday for the children's ministry. Matter of fact, they have some hot dogs left. They have a combo outside for $5 after service. You can go out back and you can get you hot dog, chips, and drink and different things so they can finish selling out. And there are some rummage items left that you can buy as well. Hopefully they're trying to hit $1,000. That'd be great if we could do that today. And that's wonderful. But we're not doing that to buy more gadgets for them. We will buy some gadgets. We're not doing that to come up with more creative programs, and we will have some more creative programs. But all of that is for the purpose and intention of investing in young lives, because our future generations is what we need to invest in. And I believe that we can frame their future by the words that we speak. And so at Grace Life, we're not going to speak words of condemnation and putting them down. We're going to speak words of affirmation. We're going to speak to their spirit man, because they don't have a junior Holy Ghost. They have the same Holy Ghost living inside of them that we have living in us. And I believe that they can prophesy, they can lay hands on the sick, they can cast out devils, and they can speak in other tongues. Well, they're not old enough yet. I believe they can speak in other tongues. You don't have to believe in that. But see, what happens is, if we don't invest in them, by the time that they're young adults, they will feel so insignificant in the church, and that they're not a part, and they're not worthy, and they're not good enough, that they quit attending church. And they're not a part of the kingdom of God. I've got 7 pages of notes, and I haven't even turned to page 2 yet. You know, it's those who struggle with this. They always think that they are second-class citizens. They're second best. You really didn't want me, but because such and such wasn't available, you chose me. That's a lie of the devil. You are important to God, you are important to the kingdom, and you are important to us. Once again, it boils down to an identity issue. People feel insignificant because they were abused sexually, physically, mentally, emotionally growing up. They were rejected. They were rejected by parents. You know, there are people in our congregation that are adults now that grew up in the foster care system. Felt rejected by their own parents. That plays into who we've become as adults. And if we're not healed of those hurts and habits, they become hang-ups. And then those hang-ups will cripple us. But God's here to heal your hang-ups this morning and your hurts. I believe another one is fear. Insignificant holds us back. If we feel insignificant, not important, not worthy, second class, it keeps us from going all in. Fear is one that will hold us back. I believe it. I'm going to name some of them real quick. Fear of the unknown, fear of pain, fear of the loss of freedom, fear of disappointment, fear of change, fear of loneliness, fear of rejection, fear of death, fear of failure. You can go on and on and on with the things that people have a phobia over in their life, and it's holding them back from going all in. Listen, if we will give fear permission in our lives, it will cripple us. It's not fear. I want you to listen to this, and then after I say it, we're going to say it together. Fear is not my inheritance. Say that with me. Fear is not my inheritance. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. But see, the enemy, in a conniving way, wants to get into our minds, see, because he can't touch our spirits. If you're a believer, the only way that he can get to your spirit is to come through the blood, and if he comes through the blood, he'll be calling you brother or sister. But fear is a tactic. And that fear that creeps in any way, shape, or form that will hold us back from going all in. See, people don't go all in with their finances in the kingdom of God because they're afraid that they won't have enough to live their life. Now, there's wisdom and there's stewardship. The Bible is full of stewardship principles. I'm not telling you to go sell all that you have and give to the poor. Okay. Because even if you did that, you still lack one thing. Rich young ruler. He received his life. Because see, selling all that you have and giving it to the poor will not gain you an inheritance, because you don't do anything to earn an inheritance. An inheritance is given to you. And fear is not your inheritance. Faith is. And through faith, I receive all the benefits of the kingdom of God. And if I have everything that pertains to life and godliness, then why shouldn't I jump all in? Fear is difficult to combat. I understand that. I understand. I mean, I'm a real human being. You pinch me, I'll say, ouch. You cut me, I'll bleed. Fear is hard to combat. I'm not denying the reality that fear is something that we face and we have to combat it. But the only thing, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. If you find yourself faithless, he's faithful. That's what the scripture says. But there has to be a renewing of our mind, Romans 12:2, and a taking every thought into captivity so that it doesn't lead us into fear. It releases our faith. That's 2 Corinthians 10:4. Insignificance, fear number three, finances. Finances are holding people back from going all in. I don't need an on me or an amen or a show of hands, but I think we could just agree in our spirit that somewhere along the line, either in the past or in the present, we have had situations that we have not, that we have avoided, that we haven't been able to do, that we haven't been able to get involved in because our finances are crippling us. Can I tell you why you are in the financial state that you're in, whether that be good, fair, or excellent, even poor? Choices. Choices of purchases. Thank you. Alice is behind me this morning. You've made purchases. You've made unwise investments. Some of it is a result of decisions that we've made in relationships. And because I ended up bankrupt one time because of choices that I made through relationships. Amen. Yes, sir, you're preaching the truth. But then we want to turn around and ask that God, who I believe would pour out blessings on you that you don't even deserve, because that's grace. But there has to be a time that when I tell my kids when they're 42 and still living at the house and don't have a job in the house of their own, that you're going to have to grow up. One of the most... how do I say this? Biblically correct, not politically correct, but biblically correct. 40 years old, ended up living with my parents for 3 years. Did not plan on that. Did not enjoy that. Neither did they. Not because we don't love one another, but do you know, if you've lived on your own for 20 years and then all of a sudden you find yourself in a position where you're moving back in with your parents... And it was all because of finances. Choices, other people's choices. See, because my choice doesn't only affect me. There's a beautiful blonde downstairs in the basement. It affects her. It affects that blonde bearded boy back there in the back. It affects my daughter. Matter of fact, my choices will affect everyone in this room. Even those of, by the sound of my voice. And I don't take that lightly. I try to pray every week, Lord, if I'm leading these people down the wrong path, just jerk a knot in me and get me back in line so that I'm not. And you know what? He keeps leading me down this path to share these revelations with you, because I believe it will bring freedom into your life. But finances are crippling people and holding them back. And then the last one is the orphan mentality. The orphan mentality just continues to cripple people. And what do you mean by the orphan mentality? People don't know that or even believe that they're the children of God. It's amazing that when my parents had me, I didn't have any say in the matter. You don't get to choose your family. We're born into it. In the kingdom of God, we're born into it. We're born from above. What's born of flesh is flesh, but what is born of the Spirit is spirit. If you were born from above through the Spirit of God, and I've been born by the Spirit of God from above, guess what? We're family. But people all over the world today live in an orphan mentality. See, orphans scrounge and beg and steal. Anybody remember Little Orphan Annie? And how she did everything she could try to do to be loved. And then when Daddy Warbuck showed up, who was loaded, and began to lavish things on her, she still, in her orphan mentality, wanted to do things that showed that she was an orphan, that she didn't really believe that he loved her enough to call her a daughter. But see, your Father in heaven loves you so much that he has already given you abundant supply of everything that you need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus, so that all the promises that need to be manifested in our life have been fulfilled in Jesus, and our life and our voice should be echoing, amen, so be it, thank you, Lord, I'll take that. But as long as you think you're an orphan and you're trying to earn acceptance and earn the love of the Father, then you will stay in an orphan mentality. It will hold you back and you won't go all in. See, because you'll be, well, does he really love me that much? See, because we have in the back of our minds, if I do this over here, then he's going to disown me, disqualify me, and then I have to go back through the hoops to get back in good God's, and this is the way we say it, God's good graces. Let me tell you something. You don't fall out of grace, you fall into grace. Anybody heard that Cody Carnes song? Well, you run into the Father. It says in that course, it says, I fall into grace, not out of it. So the key to saying no to this spirit of orphans is believing that you have received the spirit of adoption. And therefore, you can cry out, Abba, or Papa, Father, I belong to you. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, verses 1 through 3. I'll read that, and it should be on the screen. I'm going to have to start using darker letters so we can see that. Here we go, 2 Corinthians 3. Does it sound like we're patting ourselves on the back, insisting on our credentials, asserting our authority? Well, we're not. Neither do we need letters of endorsement, either to you or from you. This is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. You yourselves are the endorsement we need. Here we go. Your very lives are a letter that anyone can read by just looking at you. Wow. Write that down and meditate on it for a week. Christ himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living spirit, not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives. And we publish it. I believe the New King James and King James says it like this: you are living epistles. God's writing your story. I wrote this down. Often we can skim over the surface of many things, but when we're all in, we're invested. We're invited. We're experiencing connection with God on the deepest levels. All in is the invitation for each of us to find the roots of life sinking in deeper to the story God is writing in us and through us as believers. Wisdom on handling our resources, finances, talents, and giftings are available to anyone who will take the challenge to be all in. See, but when we are hindered and we're holding back and we don't just let go, and you can't hardly see it, but you can see at the top of the screen by that rock right above Christ, somebody's feet. He's decided to go all in. Go back to the title slide for me, Shane, if you would, and you'll see the leap of faith. He's all in. Once he stepped off and he held nothing back, he's all in. Once you make a decision to take that step and you're all in, there's no turning back. He could not, if he wanted to, make a decision to reverse the momentum of going forward all in. I believe that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. All in simply means placing all that I have in Papa's hands. When we go all in, Matthew 6:33, seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness, we won't miss out on anything his life has to offer us. See, we've said, well, you're going to miss out on life. I don't care if I miss out on life if I don't miss out on anything his life has to give to me. See, God didn't. How did Paul say it to the Galatians? It's not I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. He said, Christ died for me. Christ died as me. Christ gave me his life, and now I'm going to let him live his life through me. And so I don't want to miss out on anything that his life has to offer me, but if I'm holding anything back, I won't be all in. I want to be all in. It's an immersion. The Greek word is baptizo. It's taking a piece of cloth and dipping it all in and holding it so that if you wanted that cloth to become a different color, you dyed it, you would immerse it, you were baptizo, you would baptize it all in. If you left any part out of it, it would not reflect the rest of the garment that had been dyed. I want to be all in. All in my family, all in my finances, all in my faith. This is what it's going to take, and I'll close if you'll come and begin to play some music for us. This is what it's going to take, okay? This will be quick. Number one, you've got to have a dream. If you don't dream it, if you don't picture it, so you have to see it before you can be it. So if, guess what? If you see yourself as an orphan, if you picture yourself as an orphan, guess what type of mentality you're going to live in? You're going to live in an orphan mentality. But if you can see yourself a child as the king, dressed in royal robes, a royal priesthood, a priest and a king, and you can begin to dream it and picture it, that's what you'll be. It takes desire. Passion must be a part of our journey. Now, Jesus was moved with compassion, and so my wife gave me this great quote, "Don't allow your passion to cause you to commit a crime of passion." Okay? So I have passion, I have a desire, I have a want to, but I also have compassion. All right? Passion is that fire. It's the fuel inside of me that drives me to reach the dream that I have to be, that I already am who he says I am. But compassion is this way. I need to have compassion for my brothers and sisters. Stop waiting on it and start walking in it. If you desire it, the proof of your desire is in your pursuit. You can sit in your chair all day long and tell me that you have a desire to be a world-class athlete. But if you don't pursue it through exercise, diet, and discipline, you will never be a world-class athlete. Determination. That's the tendency to move in a fixed direction. It's a resolve. Dude made a determination when he jumped off the cliff. He was all in. He was moving in a fixed direction. So stop worrying about what he's already worked out and go all in. It takes dedication. That's the state or quality of being committed to a purpose. This is where I want to spend just 1 second here. It's potential versus purpose. Okay? If I can have just a moment, and if you will go home and research this and study this out, Justin, I believe you'll see a new revelation. Jesus did not live up to his potential, but he did fulfill his purpose. What do you mean, Pastor? On the cross, he had the potential to call 10,000 of his angels. If he would have lived up to his potential, we would all be dead in our sins and our trespasses. But he fulfilled his purpose, I feel God. And when he lived up to, when he fulfilled his purpose, all who believe will have eternal life through what he did at the cross. I understand that in athletics and in academics and in our work and our job, it's based upon performance, and so we would need to have a conversation with someone that's not performing well, and we would to tell them, you need to live up to your potential. But I want to change our vocabulary in the kingdom, and I want us to not tell people to live up to their potential, but I want us to tell them to go all in so you can fulfill your purpose. There's a difference. There's a difference. And lastly, it takes discipline. A dream, you must have a dream. You've got to have a desire, determination, and dedication. This is the way that we go all in. And then lastly, discipline. Remember, we are disciples. And the root word of discipline is disciple. It is a practice of training oneself to do something in a controlled and habitual way. Stop trying to fix the problem and start fixing your focus. You have to be disciplined to fix your focus. Sometimes I think these words in grace circles have been deleted from our vocabulary. I think we've deleted talking about discipline and dedication and determination and desire in grace, because I feel like we've gotten to a place where, and I believe that people will test the waters of freedom, and I'm absolutely okay with that. Because here's my personal opinion, I believe that God has released you 100% out on the free, on the sea of freedom, in a boat called grace. So you can go anywhere you want to go in your boat called grace on this, the waters of freedom. But what we cannot stop preaching is the fact that we have a rudder, a navigation system called Holy Spirit. And if you want to rip the rudder out and ignore the navigator, that you can go all over the water and you can go in circles, you can end up in storms and all types of things. But if you allow that indwelling Holy Spirit to be your rudder, your guide, and your navigation system, then we can be determined, we can have a desire, we can be dedicated, and we can be disciplined. We've done this to try to create a culture in grace circles that's void of work. And unfortunately, there's been people that have come to Grace Life that they've heard no works, and so they've not worked. But the no works comes, all that we're saying was that this is not, you're not saved by works. Your righteousness is not obtained. Your deliverance is not obtained. Your salvation. See, there's so much wrapped up in salvation than just being born again. There's life, it's health, it's deliverance, it's fulfillment. There's just so much wrapped up in sozo that we have avoided using the word work, and we've got spiritual couch potatoes that are being held back and they're not all in. There's a lot of things that I enjoy doing, and I believe Holy Spirit allows me to do them because I've gone all in. I enjoy going to football games. But see, give the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall your barns be filled with plenty and your vats overflowing. So if there's a decision on, I'm going to spend this money and go to a ball game, or it's time to give strategically and weekly like Holy Spirit has led me, I'm going, even though I love to go to the ball games, I'm going to say, well, I'm going to give the first fruits of all my increase. Because why? Because he has given to me over and abundantly and blessed my life. And the mentality is, well, I'll give this and then God's going to bless me and give me enough to go to that ball game. He's blessed me so much. I sat in the best seats that I've ever sat in a football game yesterday at WVU and didn't pay a penny for it. And you can get mad at me if you want. I just have relationships with people. And actually, I don't. My wife does. It was one of her friends that gave it to him. But I'm blessed by her, so I get on her blessings. She gets in on mine. I don't want to make that everything about money, because there's so much more about going all in. But I do believe that what you don't support goes away, and where your heart is, there also is your treasure. Stand to your feet. So you can have boats and cars and houses and lands and vacation plans and timeshares and all of that type of stuff, and that's wonderful. But if that blessing keeps you from being all in, are you seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? See, because there's nothing wrong with going fishing, going hunting, going to camping trips, going on vacations. There's nothing wrong with any of that if it's within your means and God's blessed you and you are also investing in the kingdom of God. That's just my 2 cents worth. The difference between going all in and just holding out is it simply comes down to trust. It's that fear versus faith factor which will you allow to dictate your decisions. Will it be fear or will it be faith? Are you going to hold back or are you going to go all in? Will you trust God again? Will you just begin to trust Him with all of your heart, mind, soul, strength? Would you put that decree up on the screen for me? We're going to say this together in just a minute. But what does all in look like? I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like Noah building a boat in a drought. I'll tell you what all in looks like. It looks like Abraham placing his promised son, his only son, on an altar. It looks like an 85-year-old Caleb climbing a mountain. It's 3 Hebrew boys facing a fiery furnace and saying, "We won't bow." It's a mother who's lost her son to suicide, her husband to divorce, yet ministering to others on this side of her victory. It's a family who's overcome years of abuse, addiction, poverty, joining as one to help others steward God's grace through example. I can go on and on and give you a picture. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you are one decision away from a totally different life. I'm telling you, you are one decision away from a totally different life. Some of you will walk out of here this morning and make that decision and you'll be all in. Others will continue to hold back, either out of insignificance, don't feel like you're worthy, I'm not good enough, I don't have this gift, I don't have that gift. You've got fear of failure, your finances are holding you back, your family may be holding you back, or you just have an identity issue and you think you're an orphan. And you won't make that decision, and you'll continue to live the life that you're living. But I believe that you're one decision away from a totally different life this morning. Bow your heads with me, if you would, please. Would you play just a little bit louder for me, Frank? Thank you. Contemplate what you've heard this morning. Quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely in heaven after death. That's been settled for you. Set a God-sized dream. Pursue God-oriented passions. Go after that dream so that the destiny will be fulfilled, and without divine intervention, you won't make it. Keep asking questions. Keep making mistakes. Keep seeking God. Stop pointing out problems and become part of the solution. Fix your focus. Stop repeating the past and start creating the future. Stop playing it safe and start taking risks. Expand your horizons, accumulate experiences, enjoy the journey. Find every excuse you can to celebrate everything you can. Live life like today is the first day and the last day of your life. Don't let what's wrong with you keep you from worshiping what's right with God. Burn sinful bridges, blaze new trails. Don't let fear dictate your decisions. Take a flying leap of faith. Quit holding out. Quit holding back. Go all in. Father, I pray that you would Help us to make the decision. Now let me remind the folks here that if they have received your life, that you have settled in heaven and you have promised eternal life. We're not here to argue that. You've settled that. So you've settled it in heaven. We settle it in our hearts. But we are here to help prod and prompt and motivate everyone under the sound of our voice to go all in. So my goal this morning was to help people diffuse their doubt, give them a remedy for their rejection, to warn them about stop worrying and just accept what he's already worked out for us. I hope that someone this morning found a cure for their confusion, an antidote for their anxiety. By the power of the Holy Spirit this morning, we believe that the hurts of our past are being healed, that our faith is increasing, and we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you look at the screen with me? You can pray it out loud. You can follow me in the prayer. But if you do anything, agree with me as we declare this. Father, I thank you for your great grace towards me. You love me with an everlasting love. You look beyond my faults, failures, and flaws, and you choose to use me anyway by your grace and for your glory. Therefore, I'm all in. I hold nothing back. I give you my all. Yeah, I give to you. There is no area of my life that is off limits to you. I refuse to keep things from you any longer. I refuse to hold back anything. The time of apathy is over. I withhold nothing from you. I declare that every door you open, I will walk through. I decree and believe you have my best interest at heart, and your plans are best for me. I surrender my plans and agenda for yours. I am expecting a bright future filled with an unending joy, peace, and love in your presence. And I confess today my life will never be the same. I'm all in. In Jesus' name. Would you sing?